Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful February 17th, 2018 day. I'm in the right stratosphere now, and I'm very grateful to be with you. I really am. We're going to look at what is love. It seems that so many of us take for granted this idea of what love is based on and predicated on emotionality. And because we live in such a manner, we create a great, mischief for ourselves in this world and in this life. And I know you may not believe it right now, but it is true. All of my mischief, all of yours, all of our difficulties are there because we don't know what love is. We will not surrender to it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. This isn't going to be one of my more popular programs. If you are listening to this, you understand it is only by the loving grace of my sponsors, people who make quarterly and monthly donations to keep this program on the air. And I hope that you will, if you're enjoying the program, the radio, the TV, everything on the Aspire website at aspire.org. If you're enjoying it, I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us. Without your support, this could not happen. None of this could happen. It is only through your kindness that anything in this world, I believe, is done in love. You understand what I mean? Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. It's all about love. And we miss it. So please, if you're considering the idea of helping us, being a sponsor, I would love to have you. I really would. And it would mean a lot to me and the many people that listen and watch Aspire in many different forms, both, you know, on TV and here on the internet. It's very, very important. So give it a consideration. If you want more information about sponsorship and all the wonderful little goodies you get for being a sponsor, go to the website at aspire.org. Go take a look at support, and you will see a drop-down menu come, and it will allow you to take a look at where your donations go, what it's all about, what you get for your donations, the whole wonderful thing, and it really is wonderful. Go take a look. What is love? Now, you know, the minute you say this to someone, they take on the attitude that we're talking about emotional love, the love that you feel in your body sexually, the emotionality of how you might live your life in emotion, thinking that emotion might be something of right and wrong, good and bad, all of that. And of course, it doesn't work like that at all. It's all about something bigger than that. And I get questions from time to time about all of this. Very rarely do people want to talk about love. It is not something that they, I'm not going to say aspire to, but I was going to. It is not something that they consider pertinent, because if they're feeling emotional, then they think they know what love is. So let's get into this. The first one comes from Chase, and Chase lives, where is this? In Florida. Greg, what does it mean to love a man or a woman? Is it the same as what you call spiritual love? Chase, no, it is not. I'm going to use me as an example here, okay? So just consider that this has to do with you too. We love, Greg loves, out of the idea of neediness. Greg is needy. He was not raised well. His mother did not particularly like him. His mother was cold, had a lot of personal problems, like a lot of 50s mothers did. We're kind of born and raised in these pods, you know. So here we are in this guise of being a human being, and we are raised with the idea that we are unworthy. We are raised subtly with the idea that we're not enough. And so emotionality plays a huge part in all of this, and we start to really believe what our parents said about us or how we felt around them. And we really didn't have anyone sit down with us and talk to us about the state of love. We just didn't have that. So with all of this being pertinent in our life, we reduce love down to, I love you if you're giving me something I need. I love you if you're giving me something I want. I love you if you're making me feel better about myself. I love you if I can believe that you will always be there for the rest of my life to take care of me or to give me whatever it is I need and want. And that's it. Love in the Western culture, in human beings and sapiens, as it were, is all about the matter of survival. If I am saying and doing things that give you a sense of pride and the confidence of a smooth and easy survival, then I'm going to be very popular with you. But if I'm not doing that, if I am giving you signs that I don't want to be with you, or this is not a permanent situation or whatever, then issues start coming up and difficulties start to arise and people start to have trouble. And in that category, human relationships are nothing but the fight for survival, emotional survival. And we miss everything that is pertinent and important to our life. We just don't get what it's all about. We don't understand the nature of our life. We don't understand the nature of our being. We don't understand anything. We just go off the body and live off the human body. And that's where we live, move, and have our being, and it never goes much further than that. And then, of course, you know, our mind, our ego starts playing off on all of this, and then the person that you're with, you get tired of, and you want something better or new or different or whatever, and that plays into it. So this love for a man and a woman is a very tenuous thing. And mostly it is lived out through the idea of, survival, number one. Number two, loyalty. You know, I feel grateful to my husband, my wife for what they've done. And that loyalty turns into something we call human love. And we think we love them. We really do think we do. But down in the shackles of our being, it's human love. And that human love is not the same as the devotion and the love that lives within our authentic heart. The authentic heart is, how do I put this to you? Not interested in the conditions or the situations of what qualifies a person to be my love or to be a lover or vice versa, me and their life the same way. It doesn't work like that. It is a matter of oneness. There's no differentiation between one person and another. It is all the same. And in that love, we feel that oneness with everyone and with everything, and it becomes magnificent. It becomes beautiful. It becomes the ebb and the flow of kindness, compassion, and eventually transcendence, where we transcend the body, transcend the mind, transcend the whole thing for the sake of a love that is greater than anything we could ever believe exists in our life. And that is the meaning of it all. And to understand the nature of all of this and the beauty of all of this, we have to come into a place where that nature and that beauty touches our lives in very unique ways. Ways of the heart, ways of the soul, ways of the being. And that is something that few people ever get to in the course of a lifetime. But there you are, Chase. It's very different. One is conditional, the human love, and the other is unconditional, the authentic spiritual love. And that really is what it's all about. It just gets down to that. Not popular. Please forgive me. Namaste. It's very painful, love affairs. We've all been in them, and we've all had them blow up, and we've all had them, we look at them and think, oh, this is going to be the perfect one, finally, and then we find out it's just a pain in the neck. And the only reason we stay in them is because we're committed through children and finances and loyalty and that kind of thing. And we've lived so long with them, what the hey? And it just gets down to the uglies. It really does. And the worst part of all of that is that we never mature. We don't get a chance to mature. I've seen very, very rarely have I seen, only in people that were in the ashram with me, one set of friends that I have that could be married, and there was growth, and there was something of the other shore there, and the rest was just all fall to roll. It really was. All right, I'll get on with it. Next one comes from John in Denver. How do we love ourselves the way we are? I mean, the way I am, Greg, isn't very nice. Nice, that's an interesting word, John. I would have probably used the word lovable, but I think that's what you meant. You know, human beings are human beings. And what can you say about a human being? Really, what can you say? What is the truth of a human being? What makes for a human being to be lovable or to be loved? Well, it's a matter of preference. Humans are humans. You ask me, how do we love ourselves? Well, I can't always, you know, agree with old Gregory. And if you see your ego, which is in my case, the Gregory, if you see your ego in your case as the John, and you look at him and you just have compassion, not from John to John, but from the other shore, from a higher place inside you, from a deeper experience within you. You have to discover your authentic heart. If you don't discover your authentic heart, you will never come to that place where you can, as you say, love yourself. Actually, there is no self to love. It's just that you and I are in a carcass, in a human body, and the human body has its foibles and all of its things that it sustains through the idea of gender, genetics, and DNA. And it is molded and shaped and wrapped around all of that. You hardly have a chance for your own life, if you really think about it. With the things I've just mentioned, gender, genetics, and DNA, it's a body. That's what it's here for. You have to have one to be here on planet Earth. So when you really start to look at it and really start to feel it and understand the nature of this puppy, you start to become deeply aware that love is impossible in John and in the Greg. So you don't really love yourself because there is no self to love. The self is subject to the laws that are prevalent here on this earth. One of them is impermanence. The other one is the magnetic connection we have with all things in this world, and we draw to ourselves certain people, conditions, situations that are unique only to us. And in some ways, very much pedestrian, because in all of that uniqueness, quote unquote, we live in the collective unconscious and we live as the collective unconscious. And so we adapt to our environment, we adapt to our DNA, we adapt to our genetics, our gender. And before you know it, where the hell are you? Where are you? Are you all those things? And most people would say, yes, I am my genetics. I am my DNA. I am my gender. And if that is the case, you're going to have a very, 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 very difficult time loving yourself. Very difficult time. But if you transcend those three through love, through an authentic spiritual practice where you are no longer engaging in emotionality all the time, you will start to find that the person that you thought you were does not exist. That you are a being, not an entity. That you are a spiritual being and not a physical entity. And because most of us have trouble with that kind of concept, that kind of insight, that kind of direct experience, we never discover who and what we are. Never. And that is so sad to me. We start to realize inside of ourselves that we have truly messed up. Messed up our life, messed up everything that, well, is important to our life. So there you are. It is in all of that that we miss what it is we're all about. What can I say to you? You ask me, how do we love ourselves the way we are? And the way you say you are is not very nice. I'll go with that. I don't know what that means, but if you have a lot of guilt and shame about the way you are and confusing that with a who you are, then you need to do some deep soul searching. You're going to have to want to go beyond your thoughts. You know, most of us live in silly little box thinking. And this little box that we live in has to do with emotionality and beliefs and all the things that constitute the idea of being human and a part of a family, blah, 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 blah. But if you transcend that, if you want to go beyond all of that, here are a couple of things you can do. The first is, John, listen to me. Don't talk to John in your mind. Don't think about John's limits or whatever you think of as his potentials. Don't talk to him when he says, I think we ought to do that. I don't like that. Well, what the hell? Don't get involved in that inner conversation. Drop it. Let it go. Don't be involved in it. That's extremely important. Number two, don't give in to every emotionality you have. Watch and see how John is based in survival, and that the only thing that he really cares about is his own survival. Whatever comforts him, whatever gives him a sense of John as a person that maybe he doesn't really think he is, but he thinks that maybe he should be, something like that. You get involved in that, you're going to be involved in a lot of ugly things. The next thing, don't act on desire all the time. Wait, watch. Don't be impulsive. Just wait and watch. Watch. What does he want? How much does he want? What does this want to compensate for? Don't act on every urge you have, especially those that might be self-destructive or unkind towards others. Just wait. And don't think you know what is fair and right. I do not know what's fair and right, and I never act on that. I don't know. Do everything you can, John, to know thyself. You need to get involved in meditation and a practice that you probably would never get involved in anyway, no matter what. And it's going to leave you in this thrashing and gnashing of teeth. And it won't be because you've been abandoned by, you know, love or life or even God. It's because you just don't have the mental acuity to go any deeper because you don't want to. Emotions and passions are too important to most people, and they don't want to give them up. I got to go. I'm running out of time here, John. I could talk about this for hours, but I gave you some how-tos, some litmus tests, and if you need to talk more, you know I'm always here. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last one from Terry in San Pedro, California. Jesus said, God is love. Looking at the world, I don't see it that way. But is God love, Terry? Yes, Terry. When Jesus said, God is love, he was saying, God is love. He used the word God, something that people could relate to. But what he was really saying is, it is. The thing that is the most important thing in this lifetime, the thing that rules this lifetime, is love. You call it God, but truly, it is just love. And if you look at the world, you see the absence of this love, not because it doesn't exist, but because we are not interested in it. We could care less about it. As long as we are getting what we want, when we want, as we want, we don't think we're doing anything, quote unquote, wrong. But as you go on in this world living by the willfulness, all of us, as we go on living by our willfulness, all of this changes quite rapidly. And we start to realize that everything we have done, are doing, it isn't love. And we are very disappointed. And it has nothing to do with the idea of something's wrong with the universe. It's me. It's you. We're missing the thing that is most important in our life. Love is a state of being, state of consciousness. It is not an object, a person, and a thing. And you must begin to understand that if you are to awaken to the state of love that lives within you. So through meditation, through conscious living, through compassion, through love, we change the ebb and flow of our life and we bring about insight. This insight is a new perception that allows us to recognize love in everything. It isn't something of a mental scape. It is more of the heartscape, the inner heart, not the human heart, the inner heart. And it takes practice and diligence and kindness to reach it. But once it is reached and once it is realized, it will change everything about you, your relationship with the world, and your relationship with life itself. And you will see, it is simply this. Nati, nati, we say, neither this, neither that. It isn't here, it isn't there. The love you seek is within you and it is everywhere. But you must seek it from your authentic heart and not pit yourself against the world. The world, as Jesus said, is always going to be filled with trials and tribulations. That's just the world we live in. That isn't going to change. This is a difficult place to be, and we put ourselves here, whether you believe it or not, we did. So transcend. You only have one choice. You either join them and become a part of the issue, or you transcend and become a part of love. I'm out of here. Thank you so much, Terry. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I'm out of here. Be back on the air tomorrow morning. I hope you will join me. Please forgive me. Please. Namaste.